Almighty God, we are so thankful this evening for another opportunity you have given us to hear the gospel message of your son, Jesus Christ. We are so thankful tonight for Brother Lavelle Hayes, who has a topic that is powerful, that is going to tell us and all listening about Jesus the Christ, your only begotten son, who you have sent to this world to suffer and hung, bleed and die on the cross at Calvary, to be buried in a borrowed tomb, and to show the world that you have raised him up, Lord. Pray, Lord, tonight that Brother Hayes lift up Jesus. Pray, Lord, that we can listen attentively and hear that old story that is still able to save souls. Pray, Lord, tonight that someone listening will be pricked in their heart, that it will be godly sorrow that worketh repentance that will make that person want to be a member of the Church of Christ by being obedient, by responding to heaven's invitation. Pray, Lord, that Brother Hayes have a recollection of those things he has studied. Pray, Lord, that those listening tonight have humble hearts to receive with meekness your engrafted word. In your son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, Brother Flanner, we're very thankful again to have each and every person on the call. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host, minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. If you're on the call, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. We want you to know that in the Churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. So open your Bible now. Study along with our speaker tonight, and pay attention to the things he'll talk about and pertain to saving your soul. It's precious. People are dying every day. Listen carefully. Our speaker tonight is a person, Brother Lavelle Hayes. He serves as the pulpit minister of the East Jackson Church of Christ in Jackson, Tennessee, for over 26 years. He's been there. I've had the privilege of working with him in that congregation, and I'm so thankful to know him and to be able to have worked with him along with his elders and those who serve with him at the East Jackson Church of Christ. So tonight, I think this month is sounding the trumpet. So Brother Lavelle, tell us about it. Sound the trumpet about Jesus the Christ.
Thank you, Brother Brooks. I'm glad to be part of this and glad to be here this evening, and certainly I say it. Again, welcome to especially our visiting friends who are not yet members of the Churches of Christ. My assigned topic is going to springboard from Matthew, the 16th chapter. Verse number 13 through 19 is the text. I'm going to read verse 15 and 16, but also want you to make note of John 6, verse 68 and 69. The New King James reads in Matthew 16:15. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Sounding the trumpet about Jesus the Christ. What is your concept concerning Jesus Christ? Now, I'm asking this question in regard to Jesus Christ. This is not a question about your concept concerning Lavelle Hayes, for that has no significance or eternal impact on your life and soul. I'm not asking this question about some historical character, some man or woman who has lived on this earth. I'm asking this question regarding Jesus Christ. What is your concept or belief about Jesus Christ? Who is he? What is he to you? Now, I'm asking this question to each of us specifically. This is not a question that the crowd should answer. It's not a question that others should answer for you. It's a question that you must answer for yourself. For the answer to this question has eternal implications. The answer to this question is going to have an impact on your life and your soul. The answer to this question is going to determine how you live now and where you live in eternity. Well, you may not know who Lavelle Hayes is, or Barack Obama is, or Martin Luther King, or who Frederick Douglass is, or someone else, but you had better know who Jesus is, because, again, I stress the fact that your answer to the question has an impact on your life and your immortal soul. And if you don't have an answer, or if you have not even thought about the question, you need to be ready to give an answer. For many people either don't know who Jesus is, or they've not been concerned about who he is. To some people, Jesus is somebody that you think about later down the road. They live by the philosophy that After I'm through thinking about gaining material things, then I will think about Jesus. After I am through with education and occupation, after I'm through with finding that special woman or special man or being in a special relationship, then I will think about Jesus. After I think about all the things that I have to do, all the places I need to go, and all the people I need to see, then I will give some thought to Jesus. Their philosophy of life is, when I get other things straight, then I will get straight with Jesus. When I get my ducks in a row, then I will think about getting Jesus in my row. When I get myself together, then I will get together with Jesus. But let me take a moment and remind you that that kind of approach is the wrong approach, and that kind of philosophy can be a fatal philosophy. Let me remind you of the words of James chapter 4, beginning with verse number 13, for the Bible says, "Listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend the year, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." I have to remind you of Jesus' warning to us through the parable of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12, verse 13 and following. That man had plans to have all his stuff together, but he died before he could complete his plan. And the worst part is that he died without being right with God. He died rich materially, but poor spiritually. He died reaping a living, but not reaping eternal life. He died having what he needed to rest his body, but not having what he needed to rest his soul. He died being full with regard to his goods, but being empty with regard to his God. The warning is that you need Jesus in the now, because you could die in the now. You need Jesus in today, because you could die today. You need Jesus at whatever age you are, because we can die at whatever age we are, whether it's being a youth, young adult, middle adult, or senior adult. Right now, right here this evening, you need to answer the question with regard to Jesus. What is your concept about who he is and what he is to you? For I am convinced that a person who is not serving the Lord has not come to grips with that question. Oh, yeah, we may offer many reasons why a person does not obey the gospel of Christ, or even why a baptized believer is not faithful to the Lord. We may offer many reasons, but I believe that the answer is going to be somehow related to the question on the floor tonight. What is your concept of Jesus? Who is he and what is he to you? I'm going on record to say that if you have the right concept of Jesus and the right consciousness toward Jesus, you will give yourself to Jesus and be faithful to his service. If you have the right respect for Jesus and the right relationship with Jesus, you will give yourself to Jesus and be faithful to his service. If you have the right understanding of Jesus and the right union with Jesus, you will give yourself to Jesus and be faithful to his service. If you have the right perception of Jesus and have Jesus in the right place in your heart, there is nothing you would not do for him. There is no limit to how much you would worship him. There is nothing you would not give him. There is no limit to how much you would serve him. And there is nothing that would tear you away from him. The right perception and the right place regarding Jesus would have you saying with Paul in Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." It would have you doing just what he did in chapter 3 of Philippians, beginning with verse 7. "What things were gained to me," he says, "I counted them as loss. I counted them as dung for the excellency of the knowledge of my Lord Jesus Christ. So I can be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, for that which is through the faith of Christ. So I want to sound the trumpet tonight about Jesus the Christ, about who he is. And the text of Matthew 16, that's the question. Verse 13, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Men in general did not have the right answer. Some say John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And you know, when you don't have the right answer, you don't give the right response. There are those today that say that Jesus is one of the prophets. There are a couple of religious faiths that accept Jesus as somebody sent from God. But what they believe about him is that he is just a line, a prophet and a line of prophets, but not that final prophet. There are others that will say Jesus was just a good man. And because they have that concept, they don't worship him, they won't serve him, they won't come to him. Jesus asked the 12 about their understanding. What's your concept? What have you learned about me? Who do you say that I am? Peter spoke up, as Peter was prone to do. In verse 16 of Matthew 16, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter said the same thing in John chapter 6 and verse 69. In that context, the crowd that once followed Jesus turned and walked with him no more. Why? Because their concept of who Jesus is determined their response to Jesus. Jesus had given them physical bread, but Jesus was trying to get them to believe in him as the eternal bread of life that has come down from heaven. And sad to say, some of us, even some in the large church, have a limited concept of Jesus. We see Jesus as our meal ticket. We serve him as long as he fills our baskets. Jesus said to the crowd there in John 6 and verse 26, you seek me because you ate of the loaves and were filled. They sought Jesus to have their physical needs satisfied, not because he could fill their spiritual hunger. Some are like that today. If you ask us who Jesus is, our behavior would answer the question for us. Our behavior would say, Jesus is my meal ticket, for I will serve him as long as there's enough bread on my table, as long as my health is good, as long as he gives me good weather and smooth sailing, as long as I have things from him that make me happy, as long as he supplies my needs in the way that I want, and as long as he does not demand anything of me that causes me inconvenience or causes me to sacrifice, I will serve him. The people in John 6 followed Jesus when he was a meal ticket. But when he started making demands of them, they turned and walked away. They lost their enthusiasm for Jesus because their concept of him was off. They lost their zeal and excitement for being with Jesus because their concept of Jesus was off. You see, my friends, your concept of who Jesus is will determine your response to Jesus. That's why, at least on this day, the 12 were going to stay with Jesus. He asked them in verse 67 of John 6, will you also go away? Are you going to leave me also? Peter speaks up again. He shows his concept of Jesus, and the concept determined how they would respond. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Peter is showing that he knows that Jesus is more than just a meal ticket. Yes, he gives bread, but greater than that, he's the bread of life. Yes, he gives life, but more than that, he's the light of the world. Yes, he gives healing to the body, but more than that, he heals the sin-sick soul. Yes, he gives direction, but more than that, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And Peter said, we know who you are. We are not going to leave because we know who you are. We are not going to go away or desert you because we know who you are. We believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. John 6 and verse number 69. Jesus is God the Son and the Son of God. You have to know that Jesus is not just some ordinary man. He's God in the flesh. John 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus. The Word was with God and was God. And then John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, watch this now, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, since there is a God in heaven, all men need to be reconciled to God. And the way to be reconciled to God has to be revealed by God himself. We as men have demonstrated that we are better at falling away from God than we are drawing closer to God. Man has demonstrated that he in and of himself cannot find reconciliation with God. Isn't that what Jeremiah said? In Jeremiah 10:23, Lord, we know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walks to direct his own step. The only way to be truly reconciled with God is by the instructions of God himself. And I don't know about you. If I wanted to be sure that you knew something from me that was important for you to know, I'd come and tell you myself. If it was truly important, I wouldn't trust a messenger. I wouldn't trust a friend. I sure enough wouldn't trust the grapevine to get it right. I would come and personally tell you myself. And I submit to you that that's just what God did. He once sent prophets and messengers, but the final word came from the Word himself, Jesus the Christ, the only begotten Son of God. That's why Hebrews 1:1-3 makes perfect sense to me. When it says God, who at sundry times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he's appointed the heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds, who is the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he has himself purged our sin, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus is God, the Son. And he showed himself to be God by his words, by his works, by his ways. Listen to some of his words. John 8:58. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. John 10:30. I and my Father are one. John 17:5. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. He showed himself to be God by his words and by his works. We need to enumerate how he fed 5,000 plus with 5 loaves and 2 fish. How in John 11 he raised Lazarus from the dead. How the Bible records that he healed all manner of sickness and disease. You know, that's not something that can be disputed or argued with. Even secular sources refer to Jesus as a man that did all kinds of great works. Now, some of them, extra-biblical writers, said he was a charlatan or a magician. Some said he did it by the power of the devil. But testimony is all over the place that Jesus did all kinds of wondrous works, culminating with 1 Corinthians 15:1-following, that he rose from the grave on the third day. He is God the Son, as shown by his words, by his works, and by his ways. He did no sin, and no guile was found in his mouth. 1 Peter 2:20-22. Hebrews 4:14-16. He was tempted at all points like we are, yet without sin. So, when you refuse Jesus Christ, you are refusing God. But when you accept Jesus the Christ, you are accepting God. When you reject Jesus the Christ, you're rejecting God. But when you follow Jesus the Christ, you are following God. He is God the Son and at the same time the Son of God. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, his monogenes huios, his only begotten Son, the only one of his kind. The Bible teaches us that God came in the flesh in order that he might go through what we go through, suffer like we suffer, be tempted like we are, yet without sin, but to be offered as a sacrifice and propitiation for our sins. You'll find that in Hebrews 2:14-18, Hebrews 4:14-16. Therefore, in the flesh, Jesus was all divine and at the same time, all human. In Luke chapter 8, verse 22 and following, we read about Jesus being asleep in the boat. He was asleep because in the flesh, men get tired and need to rest. This just shows that Jesus was made like us. He got thirsty, he became hungry, he became tired and needed rest in the human form. It shows his identification with me and my struggles. Because of his experience in the human form, he knows my pains hurt me, my fears scare me, my sorrows depress me, my problems trouble me, my storms shake me. He knows what it's like to be without food and shelter, to be forsaken and friendless, to lose someone you love, to be tempted and tried and have the devil on your trail all the days of your life. He was man and God as the Word made flesh to dwell among men, which John's gospel tells us about. You've heard it. He rode in the boat because he was God. He walked on the because he was a man. He walked on the water because he was God. As a man, he got hungry. As God, he's the bread of life that came down from heaven. As a man, he wept at Lazarus' grave. But as God, he is the resurrection and the life who raised Lazarus from the dead. As man, he was tempted. But as God, he did not sin, no guile was found in his mouth. As a man, he was born and died. But as God, he is from everlasting to everlasting. And as a man, he was subject to death. But as God, he rose from the dead the third day with all power in his hands and has the keys to death and Hades. So let me sound my trumpet about Jesus the Christ. That's who he is. But who is he to you? Is Jesus the center of your life? Or is he an object on the outer rim somewhere? Is Jesus your constant companion? Or just someone you call upon when you need something? Is Jesus the top priority in your life, or is he someone down on the list? When it comes to that part of this, the answer ought to be, it has to be, he is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Adonai, the supreme ruler, the King of kings, the Almighty, the one who has all authority in heaven and in earth. He is Lord. But wait a minute. Is he your Lord? 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." What that means is that Jesus can be Lord of the universe, but not Lord of you. That is, in your heart and mind, you as an individual has not elevated him and hallowed him as King of kings and Lord of lords. And when Jesus is the Lord of your life, he is the one who sits on the throne and rules each and every part of your being and your life. When Jesus has all authority in your life, that means all authority, whether it's your home life, whether it's your employment life, whether it's your recreational life, whether it's the way that you dress and carry yourself in life. But certainly when it comes to your religious life, he is and has to be the authority. If Jesus is the authority, if he is Lord Jesus Christ, then he has to be Lord in regarding what you must do to be saved. As Lord, he never said, just pray a sinner's prayer. As Lord, he gave us his will for how to be saved. When he sent his disciples out, after he rose with all authority in his hand, he told them to go preach the gospel, and he told us what the response to the gospel must be. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. What are you going to do if you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord to come under his authority? You're going to believe and be baptized for the remission of sins. You know, it takes more than saying that he's Lord. It takes more than just verbalizing it. He said in Luke 6 and verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you won't do the things which I say?" He says that in order to be saved, we must believe in him as God the Son and the Son of God, and be baptized, that's for the remission of our sins, not because we've already been saved, but in order to be saved. And even if we would tie in the context of Matthew chapter 16, remember, after this confession of Peter of who Jesus is, he is the Christ, Jesus went forward to talk about his church. He could have said and talked about a lot of things, but notice that Jesus talked about his church. He said, upon this rock, upon this confession that you made, I will build my church. Did that tell you that the church is important? Because the lordship and the headship of Christ when it comes to this earthly sphere that we're in right now is manifested in him being the head of the body, the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And the church is the fullness of him that fills all in all. The church is the fullness of Christ. So, my friends, Jesus is the Christ. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he Lord Jesus Christ to you? Are you in relationship with him as Lord? Listen again to the Bible, Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So when did we come in relationship with Christ as Lord? When we come by faith, when we repent of our sins and turn to God, Acts 3:19, when we confess him to be the Son of God, but we must confess with our mouths what we believe with our hearts, Romans 10 and verse number 10, Acts 8:36 through 38, and be baptized so that the Lord will add us to the same church, the same body, the same religious group, the same kingdom that he was talking about there in Matthew 16:18, that was established through his apostles during their lifetime and that we can read about in the Bible. I hope that you will decide to let Jesus be Lord Jesus Christ to you personally. And if you're going to do that, you're going to have to respond to the gospel plan of salvation. And then once you do that, you live your life in a way that shows Jesus is Lord. In your mannerisms, you show Jesus is Lord. In your conduct, you show that Jesus is Lord. In your worship, you show that Jesus is Lord. In your lifestyle, you show that, yes, he has been sanctified in your heart as Lord and Christ. We hope, trust, and pray that that will be your desire, to obey the gospel of this Lord, Jesus the Christ. Thank you.
Thank you. You done that. You sounded the trumpet. You broke that down. If a person don't know who Jesus the Christ is by now, I don't know what to say about that. You know, a person that believe the Bible, how could they not see Jesus the Christ? Man, you've given us the picture. You painted the picture. And for those who are listening, that are on the call, that are not members of the Church of Christ, we brought Brother LaBelle on, and along with other speakers, because we wanted you to hear this kind of message. We want you to be saved. We want you to be saved. You gotta obey the gospel in order to be saved. He told you what you need to do, and that is to be born again of the water and of the Spirit, be added to the body of Christ, the Church of Christ, only one you read about in the Bible. Now, what we'd like for you to do is get back with the person who invited you to our call and tell them you want to obey Jesus, make him Lord of your life. And obey him, and they will help you get to a place where they can baptize you, or if you need further study, they can help you with that, or perhaps you can email us if they're not able to help you. Go ahead and email me. If you have a question about LaBelle Hayes, you can email me or any of our speakers. Any topics we have, we'll be happy to discuss those with you. Go ahead and email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Now, we recorded this message tonight, and the recording came out really well. We are thankful for the technology we have, able to go into the homes. And our calls have been large, and over 2,000, looks like. And we're just so thankful. So many are listening. But we're especially thankful for the VIPs of our call. If you want to go back and listen to the recorded message, just go to our website. That's HowlandHeightsCoc.net, HowlandHeightsCoc.net, and click on the Nationwide Gospel Call tab, and you'll find all of the sermons and all of the flyers and everything we've done since the month of May in this gospel meeting. You'll be able to download those and listen to them at your leisure and study them on your own, the privacy on your own studies, and then discuss them. We want you to do that. We want you. If you have a Bible question, we'll give you a Bible answer. Let's pray to God about it. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for Jesus, the Christ. Thank you, Lord, Father, for loving us, loving the world of sinners. Thank you, Father, for giving us a way to be saved from our sins. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. You sent because of your love, and he gave his life to obey your will. He was saying, he's the one who said, greater love had no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. We're glad to be his friends. We pray for our visitors, our friends, family, loved ones, co-workers, and those we've invited to the call, that they will obey this gospel before it's eternally too late. We pray for them. We pray, Father, that they understand what we're doing on this call is speaking the truth in love, and presenting your Son as a Savior, the Lord and Savior of the world. And Father, we just thank you for Brother Lavelle and for the congregation there and those who serve with him, and for his way of delivering this message tonight as we close out this week. Thank you, Father, for a great week. Continue to bless our efforts, Lord. We know your word don't come back void. We know we're planning. It'll be you to give the increase. So thank you for all you do, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, another great week closed out with a bang. And we're so thankful for the East Jackson Church of Christ. Matter of fact, his elder, Brother Thomas Pernell, one of the elders there, will come on Monday night to kick us off. They're going to be sounding their trumpet out in Jackson, Tennessee. Yeah, the trumpet going to blow. It blew tonight. It's going to blow again Monday night. He's going to talk about he that believe it, the Bible says, he that believe it and is baptized. You know, he's going to talk about that, he that believe it. He's going to sound the trumpet by that. Following up him, Austin Williams, young man out of Byron, Texas, we've grown to love. He's going to kick off the Tuesday night. He's going to sound the trumpet about the God of this world. And we've already looked at 2 Corinthians 4:3, but he's going to expound on the God, the little g God of this world. Follow him with Brother Glenn Williams, one of the elders there at the Vider Texas Church of Christ, about the blinded minds. Yeah, if our gospel be here, it is here to them that are lost, whom the God of this world have blinded the mind, them lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. And then on Thursday night, the Sugarland Church of Christ will be blowing the trumpet. They're blowing it from Jackson, Tennessee, from Vider, Texas. Then on Sugarland, so we can start hearing some noise out of Sugarland. Yes, sir, Lewis Parker, another one I repeat defenders. You're going to be sounding trumpet about the flattering tongues. Oh, man, you don't want to miss that. We got a lot of that going on. And then they're closing it out, one of the elders there in Sugarland, Brother Roy Johnson. You're going to talk about it. Brother Johnson's going to blow his trumpet about baptism. You don't want to miss. Oh, we got a great lineup for next week. We hope you'll join us. I hope you're enjoying the call. Please invite someone. My prayer is you have a good night's rest tonight. We love you all, and may God bless.